This morning, I want to minister from the book of Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, from verse 15, I read to verse 19. And the title for my message this morning is Prevailing Against the Gates of Hell. Prevailing against the gates of hell. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16, from verse 15. And Jesus, he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven, And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is very profound, very rich scripture. Hallelujah. And I want to see how I can dissect it for us this morning. Prevailing against the gates of hell. Jesus said, I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. The scripture there, is referring to us. We are the church. You and I make up the church. So, and Jesus is saying, I will build you. I will build you up. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. I will build you up. I pray you will submit yourself to continual building up. Jesus will continue to build you up every day in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, there are two things or two ways to look at the gates of hell. You can consider, number one, that the gate of hell is referring to the gate is referring to that opening or passage that is created to give access, a gateway. You can see it as a gateway, a passage, an access that is created. The gate of hell creates an access or a passage into your life, an access into your affairs. Or the second way you can look at gate is as a barrier, a hindrance, a blockade to hinder access, to block access. So it serves two purposes. And these are the operations of demons. Satan's kingdom operates this way. Before Satan can ruin something or ruin someone, he will need to first have an access, create an access into that person's life or into that person's affairs. And if Satan can have access, succeed in creating an access, a gateway into your affairs, into your life, then he can determine what comes into your life. He can determine what happens to you. He can flood your life with things that you don't need. He can flood your life with things that will cause you pain. He can flood your life with things that will keep you busy and, of course, of the plan and the purpose of God for your life. He can get you busy doing things that don't matter in destiny. He can bring all kinds of people into your life that will contribute in messing you up and robbing you of your joy and your peace. That's how the kingdom of the devil operates. Or the devil will like to create a barrier, raise up a gate, a barrier. And if the devil can succeed in raising a barrier around your life, then he can block the work of God happening to you. He hinders good things, God things happening to you. He keeps away from you what is yours in destiny, in the plan and the purpose of God. He keeps good people away from you. He blocks you. He hinders your progress. He limits your movement, your success, your achievements. He keeps you away from the territory where you will flourish by raising barriers. Today, I decree and I declare the collapse of the gates of hell, wherever they may be operating around you or in your life, in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Satan will not be able to create a gateway into your life or raise a barrier on the way to hinder your progress. I decree today in the mighty name of Jesus, and you are receiving it. If you are receiving it, I'd like you to say amen to that. Amen. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church, Jesus says. Now, some of the things that Satan likes to use to create access, you know, gates are common things that we know, actually. You know, before Satan can succeed in achieving something, he will have to make us yield in some way, respond to him in some way. And by us allowing that to happen, then he succeeds in putting his gate in our affairs. And Satan uses common things like disobedience to erect a gate. Disobedience. And this is why a believer must not be given to disobedience. Disobedience is influenced by evil spirits. Evil spirits would like it to dwell in disobedience. They like it to disobey, particularly disobey God's counsel, God's instruction, God's word, live in rebellion to God. Satan cannot plant a gate into your life. He cannot do that, except he can get you to begin to live in disobedience. Disobedience is serious, and nobody should trivialize disobedience, because it opens up an avenue for Satan to plant his gate in the life of someone. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2 says, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. I'm reading from the New International Version. I'll pick that up again. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. There are evil spirits that are working to create disobedient behavior, disobedient attitude, to make people live disobediently. And Satan, you know, sends those spirits. The Bible calls them the spirit of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. And he engages people, causes them to be given to disobedient lifestyles so he can plant gates. Walking in obedience is very critical to God. Absolutely critical to God. The Bible says God or Jesus is able to save them completely, them that obey him. Them that obey him. He can save completely. Hallelujah. No believer has the capacity to engage the power or the ruler of the kingdom of the air in disobedience. While living in disobedience, you are not ready. You are nowhere able to withstand the advancement of the devil. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, and having in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When your obedience is fulfilled. Hallelujah. One of the common things that the devil, you know, makes use of to erect gates, he seeks to make people give themselves to so he can take advantage and create a gate is envy and strife. Envy and strife. Now, you need to really familiarize yourself with what Scripture says about these things, because they are not as common as you think. They are not as immaterial, insignificant as you think. They open up your life for Satan to erect the gate of hell. Envy and strife give the devil a chance. James chapter 3, verse 16. He says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Wherever you see envying and strife, then you begin to see confusion. The spirit of confusion sets in and all kinds of evil work begin to take place. Satan will have a field day where there is strife, malice, bitterness, and envying. He will have a field day. He will succeed there. I shared this testimony some time ago in Victory Assembly about a lady who came to church on a Sunday morning to share a testimony of her experience of a miracle. Healing miracle. She had asthma. She didn't always have asthma until she fell out, she said, with her pastor. She came on a Sunday morning to share a testimony. She said she was planning to get married. She used to be in this particular church. And she took her fiance to meet the pastor so the pastor can pray with them, but the pastor wouldn't support the wedding. The pastor was completely against it. And she said she became bitter at the pastor. She left the church. They went to some other church and they got married. But not long after marriage, she was afflicted with asthma. And she didn't know where asthma came from. But she came to church on a Tuesday. And while I was teaching in a Bible study, I walked down to her. I wasn't operating in word of knowledge as far as I was concerned. I wasn't prophesying as far as I was concerned. I was simply teaching. And sometimes I like to walk around when I teach. So I walk down and I stood by this woman. I was doing a Bible study on the power of forgiveness. And I stood there, looked at her, and I said, lady, if you do not forgive that person, you're not going to get healed. You're not going to enjoy, the move of God in your life until you let go. But while I was only teaching, not really prophesying as far as I was concerned, but God was speaking to her. She shared the testimony. She said, that night when she went home, God was convicting her about bitterness toward that man of God. She said she went on her knees and she was praying, Lord, please forgive me. Lord, please forgive me. I let him go wherever he is right now. I'm sorry. She said as she prayed that prayer, she felt this warm sensation run down from her head down to her foot, and instantly she was healed. Complete healing came. No man of God laid hand on her. No one poured any oil on her. The moment she let go that bitterness and forgave that man of God, healing came. I remember visiting a town in the East with a friend of mine many, many years ago. And we were asked to come to pray for a certain lady who was married. They used to go to this church. But, you know, the story was that, you know, when we got there, we met this woman. I thought we were going to pray for healing, but we met a woman who was the right word to use now? Who had become mad? Mental illness set in. She didn't know where she was. She was talking all kinds of stuff. She was unkempt. You know, she was completely off. And I sat the husband down and I inquired, what happened? How did it start? And he said, you see, we go to this church. And we started little, but in the last few years, God prospered us. God gave me openings and I began to succeed and I was making money. But then we began to hear some rumors from the church. Church people were saying that we have become materialistic, we have become carnal, and who knows what we did, and we made our money and all of that. And some of those gossips came to my wife's hearing, and my wife insisted that we leave the church. But I felt this is where God wanted us to stay, and I won't leave. And because I refused to leave, my wife developed bitterness against me. My wife stopped going to church. My wife would not entertain anyone that would come from that church. And Pastor, this is how it has resulted. Bitterness, malice, unforgiveness. They open up the door to the devil. He creates confusion, and you see all manners of evil there. Gates of hell. It creates a crack. And this is why, actually, you know, when it comes to relationship, you need to always follow peace with all men. You need to learn to forgive in Christ Jesus. Forgive even as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus. You need to completely let go. When it comes to offense, offense will always come. But as long as it lieth within your power, follow peace with all men. Do not be overcome of evil, the Bible says. You can only overcome evil with good. Marriage problems, you know, can raise a gate, a barrier, satanic barrier. Particularly on the way of the people's prayer. You know, and this is why husband and wife will need to understand the marriage covenant and live peaceably with each other. You know, living their marriage life in the light of the word of God, giving honor and respect to each other. The Bible says they need to do that, because if they don't live that way, husband and wife, then the devil will succeed in creating a gate on the way of the answer to their prayers. First Peter, you can see that in First Peter chapter 3, speaking to married people now, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 7. You know, Paul gave simple instructions, and he, not Paul, Peter gave simple instructions, and he told us why we should, what will happen if we don't keep to these instructions. He says, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. So the Bible is not saying that the woman should only submit to the husband or obey the husband because he's a Christian. He doesn't have to be a Christian. Even if he's without the word, he's an unbeliever. As long as you have agreed and you have married him, you've got to submit to him. You've got to obey him. You've got to listen to him. You've got to respect him. That's the teachings of the scriptures. And the Bible then in verse 7 says, husband, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Husband, I've got to be considerate, kind, considerate, and tolerant, and treat them with respect, as the weaker partner, as heirs with you of the glorious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. In other words, if you don't order the affairs of your marriage in the light of this, then something will hinder your prayer. And you know what can hinder your prayer? The gate of hell. Satan will raise a barrier and block any good thing from coming to your home, coming to your marriage. You are praying, you are fasting, you are rebuking, you are casting devils out, but nothing is happening. Things are not changing. Things are not progressing. Because you're not dealing with each other appropriately according to the covenant of marriage. Don't allow Satan to succeed in erecting a gate in your life or in your affairs. Hallelujah. And Jesus said there are two things that he would do to bring us to that place where Satan can't succeed. Two things Jesus said he would do in the passage that we just read. Hallelujah. Jesus said, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Like I said, the church is referring to you and I. We make up the church. So Jesus is saying, I will build you up. I will so build you up that Satan won't be able to erect gates of hell and prevail against you. What Jesus is referring to building here is that believers will receive a word from him continually. And as believers receive the word of God receive the word of God continually, and they apply it to their lives, they will be built up. I will build you up. In other words, you will, through my word, get nurtured, get established, such that you will be strong and rooted, and the gate of hell will not be able to prevail against you. Hallelujah. The believer is being built up as he constantly receives God's word and applies it to his life. The believer must constantly hear the word. Every day he must receive the word. Every day he must study the word. Every day he must listen to the word of God and apply it to his life daily. As he orders his life that way, he is, as it were, being built up. Built up. That's the process that Jesus uses to build a church. We cannot overemphasize that. You've heard me say about this many, many times before. You cannot overemphasize that. This would determine the level of your spiritual growth, your spirituality, your spiritual strength, your spiritual stamina, your capacity. How much that you can discover about God will be dependent on how much you invest yourself in the Word of God. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, verse 32. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, verse 32 says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." Which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. That is what builds. That is what gets you rooted, established in Christ Jesus. You see, the rock there is the Lord. The Lord is the rock. Upon this rock. The revelation that Jesus is Christ, upon Christ the Savior. He is the rock there. So the more you hear the word, the more you feed on the word, the more you devote yourself to the studying of the word and you are applying God's word daily to your life, the more you are firmly rooted and established in Christ. Planted upon the rock. Jesus explains that to us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, Jesus says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came." Now, the rain and the floods, you've got to see them as a type of demonic activities, the operations of Satan. And I tell you, Satan will throw all kinds of darts, fiery darts, against the believer. But because you are hearing God's word, you are studying God's word, you are feeding on the word every day, and you are applying it to your life, as it were, you are being built upon the rock. You are getting rooted and established, brought to that place where gates of hell against you cannot prosper. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blow and beat upon the house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon the rock. Jesus is the rock, and the word of God is what establishes you and gets you rooted, firmly rooted. But you see, the word of God does not only build a believer, as we read in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20 and verse 32. It does not only build a believer, but it matures him and brings him to that maturity level where he becomes ready to receive of his inheritance in Christ Jesus. There's a level of development, level of build-up, level of growth that a believer must arrive at before he can access certain blessings and benefits in the kingdom. And so that's why Paul would say, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." It builds you up and it gives you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. There are things that are rightly yours in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We are richly blessed. We are richly, richly blessed. There's so much in God that we can access. But there is a maturity level that you and I have got to arrive at before certain things of the Spirit would become accessible to us. Be built up. It keeps you protected. It gives you covering from the fiery darts of the enemy. But it matures you for certain kingdom benefits. That's one of the things that Jesus said he would do to keep us safe from the gates of hell. And the second thing that Jesus said he would do is that he would give us the keys of the kingdom. So you and I need to learn to operate with the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom. And Jesus said, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The keys of the kingdom of heaven allows you to open heaven over your life. Hallelujah. Open heaven over your life and lock up things on earth that should not be. You decree something, disallow something, and they hold. And you open up heaven over your domain, over your territory, so that the showers of the blessings of God will be poured upon you. The keys of the kingdom allows you to do that. And the believer must be able to operate with the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom, would mean, it would mean the authority. Key stands for authority that you can function in. I'll give you the authority of the kingdom to function here on earth, so you cannot bind and or disallow certain things on earth or allow things to happen. The keys also mean the right of access. I will give you right of access so that you can easily open access for yourself into certain territories, certain heights. Keys could mean divine wisdom. I will give to you divine wisdom and insight and answers and solutions for life challenges, life problems. I will give you the wherewithal to deal with challenges and overcome them. Answers to life challenges. Right to access. Your kingdom benefits, the authority to refuse some things happening to you here on earth and opening up the heaven over you. One of the most important keys that we have is the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is one important key of the kingdom. Very powerful key. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18 says, "And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name." Jesus is saying, "I will give you my name. You will have my name, my name. My name will give you access to the Father. Anything that you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." The name of Jesus is a powerful key. And Mark chapter 16 says, "And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." The name of Jesus drives out devils. The name of Jesus drives out sicknesses and diseases. The name of Jesus gives us victory. Hallelujah. I remember the testimony of my older sister, you know, who had an accident on their way back home from the office. Their car, lost control and ran into this pond, you know. And she couldn't swim, but they succeeded before the car could submerge into the water. You know, they succeeded in coming out of the car, but she was going down like a stone. She couldn't swim. You know, and but she told the story. She said she felt herself go down as she was drowning, and she felt herself come up. And that happened 2 times. And she said the third time, as she came up, she managed to catch some air, and she cried, "Jesus!" And she began to float. True story. And she flowed like a paper. And people came. It was in the night time, so people came because they saw the car ran off the road and went into the ditch, and they came with torchlights and were flashing, and they saw her like a paper hanging on top of the water. The name of Jesus is powerful. It's our victory. But apart from the name of Jesus, the scripture is filled with kingdom keys, kingdom principles, kingdom ways of succeeding, kingdom ways of opening the heavens over us, kingdom ways of accessing the benefits of the kingdom. As you study the scriptures, you've got to see them as the book of principles, keys, answers, solutions to our problems. Hallelujah. As you go deep into the Word of God this week, as you give yourself to studying it, may the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. May you see beyond the letters, for the letter killeth, the Spirit gives life. May the light of this gospel shine brighter. May you see the mind of God. May you receive instructions. May you receive ideas. May you receive revelation knowledge. May you be inspired on the way that you should go. The Bible is filled with keys of the kingdom. Keys. You take a word as revealed by the Spirit, and you run with it. Satan will have no answer for it. I pray for you that this week will be the best week of this year thus far for you. May this be the best week of the year for you. May you experience the hand of God, the power of God, the glory of God with you in your home, wherever you will be, like you've never felt it before. May your eyes open to see beyond what is in the physical. May God reveal to you things in dreams, by revelations, through prophecies, in the Word of God. May your eyes open to understand the mind of God. I speak this Word of God into your life, that which Satan stole from you will this week be refunded. I rebuke the devil. I rebuke that devourer in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to your bodies. I speak abundance to your storehouses. I speak open doors for you. Doors of success. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you, everybody. Enjoy the rest of the service.